This week, we explore whether Freemasonry has a mascot. If it had a mascot, what would it look like? What would it represent? What does it send as a message to the outside community? Then, we'll talk about the origin of the human species. What traits does the Homo sapien have, and how did we get them to lead to our current state of survival and comfort? And likewise, what are the virtues that have been collected over time to form the civil societies that we live in? Does Freemasonry have something to do with it? Did it collect them all and put them under her own banner? All this and more on this episode of the Whence Came You podcast. Stay tuned.
Welcome back to Whence Came You, a Masonic podcast featuring research papers and discussions related to Freemasonry. Here's your host, Brother Robert Johnson.
Welcome back to the show. This is episode number 513. Before we begin, I just want to go ahead and thank all of the supporters of the show. Whether you are a contributor, a fellow, a producer, or a legacy partner, thank you so much for bringing this program to so many people worldwide over the last 10 years. We can't do it without you. And if you'd like to know more about how to help Masonic education break through boundaries and be able to share these great concepts and Masonic tenets, virtues, and education with the world to make it a better place, then head on over to WCYpodcast.com, click on Support the Show, and see how you can help support this program, your Masonic Education Podcast. And also, we've got things in the shop as well. So if you go to the same website, click on the shop, we've got items for sale that also fund the program. In the news this week, I want to say thank you to everybody who came out to the book club lecture that Brother John Ruark and I did at Benjamin B. French Lodge, number 15, in the District of Columbia. It was a lot of fun, a very eclectic crowd of educated brothers. Thank you so much to everybody who attended online and in person. It was a wonderful experience. If you're listening to this on Monday, in just a couple days, I will be in Arizona for a table lodge, and that will be another great time to be had by many. I'm looking forward to the fellowship. I want to thank everybody who registered and attended the webinar we had with Brother Richard Dreyfuss, 32nd degree, Scottish Rite of Freemasonry. He was an incredible guest to have on this webinar that we had, where we asked him questions about the topics of civics and Freemasonry. And I think it was a phenomenal talk. We got to the heart of some things with some very poignant questions that I think many of us have. So if you're interested in checking it out because you missed it live, it was recorded, and as soon as it's available, I will share links. You'll find those links on the WCY podcast page, probably on Facebook, on Instagram, and likely we'll have links to it all back on the Masonic Legacy Society website, which is MLS2026.com or MasonicLegacySociety2026.com, whichever you prefer to use. One does lead to the other. Also in the news, I want to talk a little bit about The Lost Symbol. Really cool show. Whether you love the acting or hate the acting, that's the biggest thing I've heard people complain about. I think the show is really cool. It's taken a slightly different approach in certain areas than the book did. Of course, that's expected because they're going to try to keep it fresh for all of us. But I did enjoy the first episode, and I'm really looking forward to watching more. Now, those of you out there who are interested in this show also, a couple of things. There are two worthy after shows that I would recommend. That's right. Just like The Walking Dead had this show, this podcast called The Talking Dead that happened after the episode aired so they could talk about it, the Masonic Roundtable has come up with The Found Symbol, a show that airs at 10:45 on Thursdays after the Masonic Roundtable podcast goes live. The Found Symbol is essentially the Masonic Roundtable guys, myself included. The four of us are talking about the episode that came out that day, and it is full of spoilers. So do not watch The Found Symbol before you watched that episode. Each week, the new episode of The Found Symbol comes out late that night, and it's in the same day that the episode on Peacock Network comes out. So that's what you're going to want to do. Watch the episode first before you check out our episode. And also, the Scottish Rite Freemasonry, Brother Maynard, has put together an insanely cool program as well called Symbols and Secrets, where they're actually working on location right there in D.C., and he's going through a lot of great things. There's some layover of what we cover, I think, in both shows, but honestly, he's got such great content that's happening there too, and they're working with the creators and Dan Brown with their program. And where can you catch that? Well, of course, I'll put the links in the show notes that you can check out both of these on the YouTube streams or whatever. But you're going to want to subscribe to the Scottish Rite Freemasonry YouTube channel, and that's going to get you those. And, you know, make sure you turn on notifications. That way you get notified when new episodes of that come out. And likewise, head on over to WCY Podcast YouTube channel and hit the like and subscribe there. Turn on your notifications so you know every time a new episode drops. Not like you don't know this already, but every single Sunday at 9:30, an episode comes out. Central Time, of course. Now, for the education this week, I've got a couple pieces for you that I think are really awesome. So, first and foremost, I want to read this piece from Greg Knott on the Midnight Freemasons. And before I get into it, I have to say this was fun. It was a fun read. And so let's check this one out. Big John, Freemason or Not, by senior Midnight Freemason contributor Gregory Knott, 33rd degree. Fellow Midnight Freemason Darren Laners and I were returning from a road trip when we decided to pull off the interstate to visit Metropolis in deep southern Illinois. If you are a fan of DC Comics, you might recognize Metropolis as the home to Superman. Superman dutifully watches over downtown Metropolis in front of the Massac County Courthouse and will, on a moment's notice, leap into action to save the day. As Darren and I were traveling our way to Superman, lo and behold, we see another super life-size statue of Big John. Big John stands on East 5th Street in Metropolis in front of the Big John grocery store. Big John was the creation of the store owner back in the 1960s and is also very popular with tourists. As Big John stands watch, he is carrying a bag of groceries, waving to everyone who passes by, and he always has a big smile on his face. He is dressed in a red polo shirt with brown khaki pants and has on a, wait for it, an apron. Now, being a Freemason, I immediately wondered if Big John was a Freemason or not. How can we determine if Big John is a Freemason? My first indicator is the huge smile that Big John has on his face. He appears to be a pleasant individual who enjoys working and helping others. As a Freemason, our disposition towards others is important, as others form an impression of who we are and what we do. Big John also is waving to passerbys, which creates an inviting and welcoming atmosphere. Does your lodge, chapter, etc. create a warm and welcoming atmosphere that brothers want to return to? Are you actively engaging new brothers and helping them get acclimated to the lodge, helping them understand what happens within the lodge, and encouraging them to come back? Are you a mentor to others and assisting them grow? Carrying a bag of groceries shows me that Big John is proud of his work. He appears to have his 24-inch gauge well situated with 8 hours for his usual vocation and probably utilizes the other 16 hours in helping others, learning and resting and refreshing himself. How do you utilize your 24-inch gauge? Are you effectively managing your time and putting forth your best efforts in your career to your family and community? Are you taking time for yourself and caring for your health and mental well-being? Finally, I notice that the apron Big John is wearing is in perfect condition and unspotted to the world. As Freemasons, it is our duty and obligation to keep our aprons pristine and unspotted for the world. Not only our physical apron, but keep our daily lives unspotted as we seek to do our best for others, contribute positively to our communities, and further our own personal growth through continued learning and engagement with others. Big John, Freemason or not? My conclusion is yes, Big John is a Freemason. Gregory J. Knott, 33rd degree. Interesting enough that the image for Big John, which you can find on the midnightfreemasons.org, he absolutely looks like it's a Masonic apron, maybe missing the front flap. But what I enjoyed about this piece is that virtues that we all hold as Freemasons seem to be these positive things that the outward world might, or at least we hope they might, attribute to us as the world's oldest fraternity of caring brothers, right? And the different attributes here that Brother Greg has put together for us paint a really cool and positive image of Freemasonry to the public. And so in some ways, I wonder if Big John is like a local Illinois mascot for Freemasonry, or could he be? But overall, what I really loved is just the questions that Brother Greg has asked in this, in terms of, are the virtues that we attribute to Freemasonry, that we hope we're being seen as, are we holding up our end of the bargain? When he's asked things like, does your lodge or chapter create a warm and welcoming atmosphere that brothers want to return to? I mean, I hope the answer is yes. My question for all of the Craftsman Plus out there today is, if Freemasonry had a mascot, who would it be and why? What are the virtues that that mascot has? How do those attributes correlate to Freemasonry? I look forward to reading your answers. Next up, as I was cruising the web, as I usually do, I was on sciencenews.org, and I found this rad article about, wait for it, fossils and ancient DNA paint a vibrant picture of human origins. Now, the piece is fascinating, and it's longer. It was published on September 25th, 2021 at 10:30 a.m. by Aaron Wayman. Now, I'm not going to read this article, really. I wanted to hit just a couple points on it. You know, it takes us through the exploration of human remains that were found in 1924. It talks about the evolution of the human species going from Sahelanthropus condensis, so really old time, like 7 million years ago, to Australopithecus sediba, which takes us to like 2 million years ago, to Homo sapiens. And it talks about the eyes on Africa in 1924 as the place where modern humans must have come from. And then in some other discoveries in the 1920s, it goes through a series of surprises that we found in the 60s, and again in 1974 in Ethiopia. And then it talks about the origin of our species, and it talks about Homo sapien arrives somehow, and this became a matter of debate in the 1980s, 90s, and into the 2000s, it says. And then it talks about the genetic revolution that we had with DNA. So in the 1980s, when DNA offers this new way to investigate the past. And in 87, one genetic study really shifted momentum toward a single origin theory, with Africa as the point of origin. And in the end, it says it's complicated. You know, the way humans come together is really interesting, because there were several species living alongside of each other, and not one person was born as a modern human. Several people were born with different modern human features, so Homo sapiens sapien. And they were built with these modern human features, like somebody might have had wisdom teeth, somebody else might have been born with a smaller skull, and all of these things. And so the last little bit here that I will read, it says, over the last decade, as genetic and fossil revelations have painted a more complex picture of human origins, paleoanthropologists have moved beyond both the multi-generational, multi-regional, and simple out-of-Africa scenarios. Rather than a tree with separate branches on a trellis, human evolution was probably more like a braided stream, a concept traced to paleoanthropologist Xinzi Wu of the Chinese Academy of Sciences in Beijing, who used a river metaphor to describe patterns of human evolution in China. Different human populations may have emerged, with some floating away and petering out, with others connecting to varying degrees. One emerging view suggests that much of early human evolution occurred in Africa, but there was not one place on the continent where Homo sapiens were born. Starting at least 300,000 years ago, modern Homo sapien features really start to show up in the fossil record, but these features didn't arise all together. Only through the mating of different populations across Africa did the suite of behavioral and biological traits that define us today crystallize, says Eleanor Scarry, an evolutionary archaeologist at the Max Planck Institute for the Science of Human History in Jena, Germany. quote, "Our origins lie in the interactions of these different populations," end quote, she says. Understanding those interactions is limited by how little of ancient Africa researchers have explored so far. Western, Central, and much of Northern Africa are terra incognita. There's still much to explore in other parts of the world, too. A single unifying explanation of human origins may not be possible, as different evolutionary processes probably shaped human history in different regions, says Atreya of Texas A&M University. Making more progress on understanding those processes and our roots will come from new discoveries, technological advances, and, importantly, new perspectives. For the last 100 years, our origin story has been told by mostly white, mostly male scientists. Welcoming a more diverse group of researchers into paleoanthropology, Atreya says, will reveal blind spots and biases as scientists add to and amend the tale. This is, after all, everyone's story. Really a fascinating correlation here. The idea, everybody seems to think that the missing link is out there. But maybe the reason we haven't found the missing link is because there is no missing link. There are several missing links. As human features, modern human features, start to show up 300,000 years ago, different species with those different attributes began to mate together. And the offspring then had more and more of these features until we are here. Now, maybe there was a first person born that had pretty much, 98% of everything we have today. And it's highly unlikely we'll ever find them because, it's not a whole species. It's probably one or two things, one or two people, until those really start to become more prevalent in the fossil record. So how is this related to Freemasonry? Well, aside from the interesting facts about just in general learning our history as human beings and our call to the liberal arts and sciences, there's an interesting correlation here, and that is this idea that different human attributes begin to evolve and catch on over time. And when different attributes meet other attributes, they make the individual stronger and they survive. Now, a compelling argument here is that the best attributes gather together for survival. And that is true for the individual, but what about the community? Our ritual says that the Creator created man dependent on one another. And why is that? What is the communal link to perhaps attributes that create for the survival of not the person, but the community? And my answer to that, and perhaps what you may be thinking as well, is our virtues, our moralities. Now, not every virtue pops up right on time, but over time they develop and we embrace those virtues and keep them around and they make society better. There was a book released in 1998 called The Origins of Virtue, Human Instincts and the Evolution of Cooperation. An excerpt from the book says, "If, as Darwin suggests, evolution relentlessly encourages the survival of the fittest, why are humans compelled to live in cooperative, complex societies?" In this fascinating examination of the roots of human trust and virtue, a zoologist and former American editor of The Economist reveals the results of recent studies that suggest that self-interest and mutual aid are not at all incompatible. In fact, he points out our cooperative instincts may have evolved as part of mankind's natural selfish behavior. By exchanging favors, we can benefit ourselves as well as others. Brilliantly orchestrating the newest findings of geneticists, psychologists, and anthropologists, The Origins of Virtue re-examines the everyday assumptions upon which we base our actions toward others, whether in our roles as parents, siblings, or trade partners. So in this, Matt Ridley is the author, and he puts together an interesting look at how human virtues adapt over time. And certainly there are other books that are wonderful on this same type of topic. Maps of Meaning, The Architecture of Belief by Jordan Peterson, The Rational Optimist, How Prosperity Evolves. That's another one by Matt Ridley. So anyway, in Freemasonry, we have four cardinal virtues. Those are temperance, prudence, fortitude, and justice. Now, an explanation of each is what I'd like to give here very quickly. So for temperance, the Freemason who properly appreciates the secrets which he has solemnly promised never to reveal will not, by yielding the unrestrained call of appetite, permit reason and judgment to lose their seats and subject himself by the indulgence and habits of excess to discover that which should be concealed, and thus merit and receive the scorn and detestation of his brethren, and lest any brother should forget the danger to which he is exposed in the unguarded hours of dissipation, the virtue of temperance is wisely impressed upon his memory by its reference to one of the most solemn portions of the ceremony of initiation. Some Freemasons, very properly condemning the vice of intemperance and abhorring its effects, have been unwisely led to confound temperance with total abstinence in the Masonic application. And resolutions have sometimes been proposed in grand lodges which declare the use of stimulating liquors in any quantity a Masonic offense. But the law of Freemasonry authorizes no such regulation. It leaves to every man the indulgence of his own tastes within due limits and demands not abstinence but only moderation and temperance in anything not actually wrong. Fortitude instructs the worthy Freemason to bear the ills of life with becoming resignation, quote, taking up arms against a sea of trouble, end quote. But by this intimate connection with a portion of our ceremonies, it teaches the candidate to let no dangers shake, no pains dissolve the inviolable fidelity he owes to the trusts reposed in him, or, in the words of the old Prestonian lecture, quote, offense or security against any attack that might be made upon him by force or otherwise to extort from him any of our royal secrets. Prudence is first introduced in the Entered Apprentice degree as referring to what was then and long before had been called the four principal signs, which are now known as the perfect points of entrance. Preston's eulogium on prudence differs from that used in the lectures of the United States, which was composed by Webb. It is in these words, quote unquote, prudence is the true guide to human understanding and consists in judging and determining with propriety what is to be said or done upon all occasions, what dangers we should endeavor to avoid, and how to act in all our difficulties. And lastly is justice. The Freemason who remembers how emphatically he has been charged to preserve an upright position in all his dealings with mankind should never fail to act justly to himself, to his brethren, and to the world. This is the cornerstone on which alone he can expect to erect a superstructure alike honorable to himself and the fraternity. In iconology, the general science pertaining to images, justice is usually represented as a matron, her eyes bandaged, holding in one hand a sword and in the other a pair of scales at equipoise. But in Freemasonry, the true symbol of justice, as illustrated in the first degree, is the feet firmly planted on the ground and the body upright. So, I'm sure there are multitude of scenarios that fit into each one of these different definitions: temperance, prudence, fortitude, justice. And these four things could really be seen as four umbrellas under which a multitude, as I said, of scenarios might exist, even concepts. How did, over time, as humans evolve and interact with each other, did we recognize these cardinal virtues? Certainly Thomas Aquinas has an entire treatise about the virtues, and it's a great text. But just like humans necessarily collected these traits to bring us into the current form that we have, we've also collected these virtues and tenets, and Freemasonry has pulled those in as almost like the human body pulls in the best of the best to create the human form that we have. So does Freemasonry take the best of the best from the recognized behaviors and practices of the world and puts them under her banner. I'd like to read for you now the four cardinal virtues and tassels in the lodge room. Is there an appropriate correlation between the two? This comes from the MasonicLibrary.org.au and is written by Brother Dr. Roy Murray. It is without question that in Masonry, the four cardinal virtues are paramount in importance and figure prominently in the proper training of a Mason. In many jurisdictions, tassels are a fundamental part of the furniture of the lodge and are located in the appropriate places about the lodge room. In other jurisdictions, tassels appear on the tracing board only, In those jurisdictions employing TASLs, these items play an important part in training their candidates. The question arises whether there is a correlation between the four cardinal virtues and the four TASLs. This includes the questions, whether it is important to designate a specific TASL to a specific cardinal virtue, and whether a specific TASL and cardinal virtue have an appropriate location in the lodge room. This paper reviews the importance of the cardinal virtues and the TASLs and addresses the correlation between the two on the basis of comparison among various jurisdictions. The cardinal virtues. It is universally recognized that the four principal cardinal virtues in Masonry are temperance, fortitude, prudence, and justice. These are often represented by various figures, usually female. The origin of the cardinal virtues. It may be stated that the cardinal virtues have been connected with Masonry since time immemorial. One source has suggested that the cardinal virtues came from the Latin word cardo, meaning a hinge. Old Roman writers applied cardinal, meaning the most important, to the four points of east, west, north, and south, and to the winds blowing from those directions. East symbolized wisdom, west strength, north darkness, and south beauty. It has been suggested that the cardinal virtues, that is, the most important virtues, were associated by the philosophers of ancient Greece well over 2,000 years ago and handed down through the ages in the group of four. They have been found in a book of the Apocrypha, the Wisdom of Solomon. Wisdom teacheth temperance and prudence, justice and fortitude, which are such things as men can have nothing more profitable in life. The cardinal virtues, which we know in everyday life as good judgment and common sense, moderation and self-control, courage and endurance, and honesty and sincerity, they are the marks of one who, in the words of the ancient charge, is a good man and true. It has been argued that the first craft symbols of the cardinal virtues were printed on a linen handkerchief of 1769, showing tassels at the four corners. How cardinal virtues have been represented. It is sometimes suggested that the cardinal virtues have been regarded as cornerstones upon which the walls of the temple were raised. During the Middle Ages, they were considered as the four walls of the Temple of God. The ceiling of the Grand Temple in Freemasons Hall, London, England, displays the cardinal virtues as being the perfect points of entrance, to wit, guttural the throat, pectoral the breast, manual the hands, and the pedal the feet. Neither ritual seems to refer to tassels. One article has given specific positions for the tassels as well as the cardinal virtues. The article is a mixture of both the Canadian and American rites. The article places the tassels and cardinal virtues as follows. In the northwest corner is temperance, which is related to guttural, since the throat is the avenue of the body, which is employed in the sins of intemperance. Temperance refers to the entrance upon the penal responsibilities, and lest any brother should forget the danger to which he is exposed in the unguarded hours of dissipation, the virtue of temperance is wisely impressed upon his memory by its reference to one of the most solemn portions of the ceremony of initiation. In the northwest corner is fortitude, which is related to pectoral, since the heart has always been considered the seat of fortitude and courage, and hence by this word is suggested to the Masons certain symbolic instructions in relation to the virtue of fortitude. In the southeast corner is prudence, which is related to manual, since Masons are in a peculiar manner reminded by the hand of the necessity of a prudent and careful observance of all their pledges and duties, and hence the organ suggests certain symbolic instructions in relation to the virtue of prudence. In the southwest corner is justice, which is related to pedal, since the just man is one who, firmly planting his feet on the principles of right, is as immovable as a rock, and can be thrust from his upright position neither by the allurements of flatter, nor the frowns of arbitrary power. And hence this word is suggested to the Mason certain symbolic instructions in relation to justice. Questions and answers from a lecture in Lancashire, England, dating to the end of the 18th century, include the following. Question: what do you furnish it with? Answer: the four cardinal virtues. What are they? Justice, prudence, temperance, and fortitude. How do you place them? Justice in the east, prudence in the west, temperance in the south, and fortitude in the north. Mackey, in referring to tassels, stated that one finds them defined as the preeminent or principal virtues in which all other hinge or depend. He added, in the 18th century, the Freemasons delineated the symbols of the four cardinal virtues by the acute angle disposed. Thus, suppose you face the east, the angle symbolizing temperance will point to the south. It was called guttural. Fortitude was denoted by a saltier, or a St. Andrew's cross. This was the pectoral. The symbol of prudence was an acute angle pointing toward the southeast, and was denoted manual. And justice had its angle toward the north, and was called pedestal, or pedal. The possession of cardinal virtues is no special distinction of Freemasons, for other societies had them. In the Canadian Rite, the relationship between the principal points of entrance, the cardinal virtues, and the tassels are summarized as follows. Pendant to the four corners of the lodge room are four tassels. These four tassels are described as referring to the four principal points, the guttural, pectoral, manual, and pedal. And through them, the four cardinal virtues, namely temperance, fortitude, prudence, and justice, the practices of which are inculcated in the first degree. Now, that's really interesting, because here in the United States, the tassels around my mosaic pavement are considered to represent those manifold blessings which, you know, make my life better. But I kind of like this better. It is interesting to make these correlations to the angles and where they point in the lodge room, and give credence to the other elements of which our Masonic fraternity exists upon, that foundation of those four cardinal virtues. So I hope what you've gained from this is that just like science has shown us we collect a number of important traits for the survival of humankind, so do we also collect a series of kind of etheric or psychological traits that ensure the survival of community and the bettering of all humankind. And of course, Freemasonry has taken these things and put them under her banner. Before we go, my final question then for our Craftsman Plus is, of the four cardinal virtues, was there one, when it was explained to you, that drew your mind into a new way of thinking about that type of virtue? For instance, did you hear prudence, and as you studied it, did you start to think about how to predict the future? Anything like that. I'm curious on your individual perspectives. That's it for this week. I want to thank you all for joining me on the WCY podcast. I hope we all learned something together in this episode. A quick reminder that you can catch some great content as related to the new show, The Lost Symbol, on the Masonic Roundtable YouTube channel, 10:45 on Thursdays. We go through and discuss the episodes that come out on that day, and believe me, they are full of spoilers. So don't just think you're going to watch it and then have it supplement your experience for watching the show. Don't do that, because we will ruin the show for you. You need to watch the show and then watch the episode. And those will just be in that normal stream. So check that out. And again, there's other content as well that's out there. Notably, from the Scottish Rite, Brother Maynard has been putting together some great content. They're actually working on location, and they've been working really with Dan Brown and the show creators and producers and all of that to bring some extra cool content about that show to you, Decoding Signs and Symbols. I'd like to put links to both of those things, again, in our show notes so that you can check them out for yourself. And make sure you subscribe to the Masonic Roundtable and to Scottish Rite Freemasonry YouTube channel so you can get all that stuff when it comes out. Thanks again to our producers, fellows, contributors, and legacy partners. If you want to know how you can help contribute to this show, head on over to WCYpodcast.com, click on Support the Show, and see how you can assist us in bringing the show to countless people all over the world. Until next week, stay on the level. For Whence Came You, I'm Robert Johnson. Take care.
You've been listening to Whence Came You, a Masonic podcast featuring research papers and discussions related to Freemasonry with your host, Brother Robert Johnson. Be sure to join us for our next edition.